这熊盘撒苍梗。
Welcome to Window on North Korea, an attempt to humanize and three-dimensionalize our image of everyday North Koreans with the help of defectors from North Korea now living elsewhere and sometimes from sources still living within North Korea. I am Paran Kelleher, your host. We could hardly talk about everyday life in America for most people without talking about television. So this episode will share what TV is like for North Koreans. This time I will only be talking about the above-board government-sanctioned access to TV, not the contraband media being smuggled across from China on flash drives and SD cards, about which I've talked in the past. That is a whole other realm of content which is gradually exposing some North Koreans to the outside world, and which is perhaps the best hope for catalyzing change from within the country. But today we're focused on conventional television that the regime produces and makes available to its citizens. The specifics of the technical details of access to TV are not completely understood, such as where there is broadcast TV, cable, and internet TV. But there have been some changes recently that tell us some interesting things with wider implications. Most of the population outside of Pyongyang only has access to KCTV, or Korean Central TV. An article in NorthKoreaTech.org this month described it as, quote, the main news, important cultural and political events and news, and lots of propaganda. A typical day includes one or more documentaries about the Kims, a couple of kids' shows, an old Korean movie, and features on agriculture and new construction projects. It isn't exactly exciting viewing, end quote. I can vouch for that. I've live-streamed some KCTV on a website called KCTV Watch. I would add to the description that they are fond of energetic patriotic songs sung by huge choruses to visuals of beautiful landscapes and diligent industrial workers. Later, I'll describe a typical day's KCTV broadcast in more detail. The hours this service is available to North Korean audiences are quite limited compared to what we, and for that matter South Koreans, have come to expect. The KCTV broadcasts from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. their time, most days, and from 8 a.m. on Sundays and holidays. There are also three other channels, but they are only available in the Pyongyang area. There is an educational and cultural channel, maybe akin to our PBS, a sports channel, think ESPN, and the Mansu Day channel. Mansu Day is described as only available to elite residents in Pyongyang. It sometimes broadcasts foreign movies and shows, foreign in this case limited to Chinese and Eastern European, and it has even more limited hours, airing for 3 hours from 7 p.m. on Saturdays, and from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and from 4 to 10 p.m. on Sundays. It was launched in 1973, but closed down as a broadcast channel in 2015, and was brought back again as a cable channel in 2016. That was no doubt so that they could charge for it, since it had become quite popular as an alternative to the very dry content of KCTV. There have been two breakthroughs in access to television in the last couple years. In 2016, a streaming IPTV service was introduced. In our world, IPTV means Internet Protocol Television, but in North Korea it is Intranet Protocol TV, since their internal internet is not, of course, networked to the World Wide Web or any other country's internet, except in a very few, very limited and highly secured settings. Manbang, the new streaming service, allows access to archived broadcasts on demand, as we would say, and is searchable by date, program, and or genre. So the TV viewing hours are no longer limited to those few broadcast hours, if you are lucky enough and rich enough to live where the streaming service is available and you can afford it. The Manbang system includes a small box, known as a set-top box, with a short antenna that sits near the TV and would fit right in the typical American home media center. Screenshots of the TV hooked up to the Manbang system in an article from 38north.org in August of 2016 look quite similar to the home screen of a TV hooked up to our local broadband network, except with many fewer icons to choose from. Besides the four television channels' archives, the box does also offer reports on Kim Jong-un's activities, Juche studies, their form of political indoctrination, and North Korean newspaper websites. The KCTV broadcast announcing the introduction of the Manbang system said that textbooks for primary and middle school students are also accessible, as well as academic materials from various institutions for more advanced students. This could enable or extend their distance learning network. Russian and English language studies are included as well. Apparently, the streaming service is available both through the set-top box described earlier, connected to a TV, and through computers with an intranet connection. So this all sounds like it puts North Korea on a par with other more advanced or developed countries. But the elephant in the room is access. Manbang means everywhere, in all directions. But how widely available is the intranet connection or the high-speed data service that Manbang box depends on? It was only available in two other cities beside Pyongyang when it was first introduced in 2016. If available, who can afford it? And of course, such a system enables specific monitoring of what is being watched and by whom. Of course, since they have total control over everything being made accessible by the system, there wouldn't really be anything subversive to watch, even if one wanted to. A more recent development has increased the accessibility of the Mansude channel outside the Pyongyang area. That's the channel offering foreign films and shows. Articles in both the dailynk.com and northkoreatech.org in the last month reveal that this channel can now be subscribed to outside of the Pyongyang area, at least where technology makes it technically possible. The catch is that it has to be paid for in foreign currency, most likely in Chinese yuan. This has been interpreted as an indication of the effects of sanctions on trade with North Korea by the international community in response to its missile testing and nuclear weapons development programs. North Korea is having trouble earning foreign currency and apparently thinks it can gain some from subscribers to the streaming service, especially those living along the Chinese border known to engage in illicit trade across the border. The installation fee for the Mansude channel is 650 yuan, or a little over $100. It's hard for us to know how valuable that is in the North Korean context, but it is enough to purchase about 200 kilograms or over 440 pounds of rice, their staple grain. That says a lot. It's not clear whether there is a monthly fee after installation or exactly how it is being provided, whether by cable or whatever. But clearly, accessibility is still a barrier financially for most people. Quoting now from the dailynk.com article, the authorities have anticipated that certain North Korean people will be willing and able to purchase the subscription at this price. This means that the authorities have a firm grasp of the fact that foreign movies have become more popular over time. The maneuver could backfire because the additional access to foreign content could stimulate people's curiosity for more, a potential source of difficulty for the authorities. The authorities are using every method and device in their arsenal to block residents from accessing foreign information, said one North Korean defector, on condition of anonymity. But now they are admitting that they need to reluctantly give permission to distribute more and more sources of foreign information. Movies that were previously watched in secret are now coming into the mainstream, and the authorities are allowing it. This will stimulate demand for foreign information to an even greater degree. End quote from the defector, and end quoting from the article. So the growing demand for something more interesting than the standard KCTV offering, especially after having been exposed to some South Korean and other foreign programming through media being smuggled in from China, may bring consequences down the road, undesired by the Kim family regime. To get an idea for the need for alternative programming, I skimmed through a typical evening's 8 hours of programming on KCTV, it being the programming from the evening of Friday, March 30th, 2018. Since the programs are at random lengths, anywhere from 10 minutes to an hour and 19 minutes, it's quite helpful that they give the evening's lineup first thing after the sign-on anthem. Okay, in the background we're hearing one of the vigorous choral pieces that are often used as fillers between programs on KCTV. So the evening started out with about a 50-minute drama that was followed by an hour of children's programs, including a cartoon version of a folk story, a visit to a featured elementary school, and a story about some traditional folk games. Then a half hour of news and newspaper reading was followed by about an hour of footage of visits back to 1960 by Kim Il-sung to the countryside and to factories, later also including his successor Kim Jong-il. Actually, I found these kind of interesting to see scenes of North Korea back in the 1960s, but I would imagine that North Koreans themselves have seen enough of this by now. Then there was a tour of a museum about the revolution, a tour of a factory, and about a 40-minute lesson in paduk, a board game which you might know by its Chinese name, go. You could also call it Korean chess. It certainly requires as much or more strategic skill to play as chess does. The paduk lesson takes us up to the 8 p.m. news show, followed by a short infomercial about coal mining, and then another hour-plus drama, apparently about a kind of music competition or talent show that engaged a whole family. The 10 o'clock news closed out the evening. And as I said, many of the transitions between shows were filled with heroic music meant to ignite one's revolutionary and patriotic spirit. Personally, I don't find American television much more interesting than this lineup, but I think it would put even American TV enthusiasts to sleep. Maybe we would have more people engaging in outdoor or creative activities if our TV were as tedious as North Korea's. Tune in most Saturdays at 10 o'clock in the middle of the Saturday morning mix on KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio, for another window on North Korea.